This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, today we continue in a series called God's Amazing Promises. In these lessons, you'll learn about some of the most significant promises that God has made to you. And these promises aren't empty. They're the key to renewed life, peace of mind, and hope for the future. Before we get started, we want to let you know that a very generous couple has pledged a $100,000 matching grant to Daily Hope. That means that all this month, every dollar donated to this ministry will be matched up to $100,000. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called God's Promises to You When You're Afraid of Failing.
So how can I neutralize the fear of failure in my life? Well, first, there are four things you need to remember. Write these down. Number one, first thing is to remember is that everybody fails in many ways. That's a fear reducer when I realize I'm not the only one. Everybody, every single person in the world fails in many, many different ways. The failure rate of human beings is 100%. No one is perfect. We are all flawed. If there was a club for failures, we could all join. We're all qualified to join a club for failures. If at first you don't succeed, you're normal. If at first you don't succeed, you're human. If at first you don't succeed, welcome to the human race. Everybody fails in many ways. Now here's what the Bible says. James chapter 3, verse 2. We all stumble in many ways. How many of you have ever stumbled? Can I see your hands? All right, that's 100%. How many of you have ever stumbled in public in front of other people? Can I see that? Has anybody ever stumbled like at a graduation? You know, you're walking across stage and you fall. All right, a few of you, God bless you. All right. Any of you ever stumble at your wedding? Anybody stumble at their wedding? A couple people here, all right. Now, what happens when we see somebody stumble, they're walking across stage and they fall flat on their face? We wince. We all sympathize when people stumble. Why? Because we've all done it. And we all know how humiliating and how painful it is to stumble publicly in front of other people. Everybody stumbles. We've all stumbled in many ways, and so we identify with them. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20 says this, "There is no one on earth who always does what is right all the time and never makes a mistake." We all stumble. You know, in baseball, if you only strike out 7 out of 10 times, you're a superstar. That means if you're batting 300, which means when you go to bat, 7 out of 10 times you strike out, you're the guy who gets paid $300 million. Why? Because even superstars strike out more than they get on base. If you're in the NBA, you're a basketball player, if you make 50% of your shots, you're LeBron James. You're a superstar. That means you miss half the time. And that makes you the best because you only miss half the time. And so the Bible tells us that everybody fails in many ways. So welcome to the club. It's not a big deal. We overstress the importance of failure. Failure is not a big deal. Everybody fails every day of their life in many ways. Number two, remember, no failure is final unless I give up. No failure is final unless I give up. Now, failure is not fatal. It's not going to kill you. It's not terminal. It's not deadly. Failure is not fatal, and failure is not final unless you choose to go, okay, I'm giving up. I'm not even going to try. And that's your fault. The fact is, the fear of failure is far worse in your life than failure. Failure is not a big deal. But the fear of failure is a really big deal. It's worse than failure. You fearing failure is worse than actually failing. Why? Because failure is a one-time shot, but fear of failure just goes on and on and on. It haunts you for hours and days and weeks and months and even years. The fear of failure can haunt you your entire life. Failure is short-term. Fear of failure is long-term. And when you have the fear of failure, then you don't even try, which makes you a failure. So you might as well go ahead and do it. Did you follow the logic of that? Okay? If you fear it, you're not even going to try, which means you're going to fail. So the fear just guaranteed, it was a self-fulfilling prophecy. Now, here's one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Proverbs 24, verse 16. For even though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. Now, what I like about this is it says even good guys stumble. Even righteous people fall. Even godly people make mistakes. He's saying righteous people fall, and they don't just fall once, they fall seven times. What makes a righteous person righteous? They get back up. They don't stay down. This is the quality of resilience, bounce back ability. And he's saying, if you want to be a righteous woman of God, you want to be a righteous man of God, one of the things you got to learn is resilience, which means you're going to stumble, but you get back up. A righteous man, he stumbles seven times, he still gets back up. It's the unrighteous person says, I quit, I tried once, it doesn't work, I give up. See, there are a lot of factors in your life that are beyond your control that can cause failure. But if you get back up again, who knows what's going to happen? I did a study this week of famous failures who kept going and wouldn't quit. I could give you about 100 of these people, but let me just give you a few, because history books are filled with biographies of people who failed and failed and failed and failed, but would not give up. And then they succeeded. Here are a few. General George Washington, you know, first president of the United States, lost 2/3 of all the battles he fought against the British in the American Revolution. I studied the American Revolution. In the first couple years of the Revolutionary War, Washington lost almost every single battle. He's backing up. He's retreating, because he doesn't have the manpower to take on the British. But he would not give up. He lost 2 out of every 3 battles in the Revolutionary War. Lost more than he won, but he eventually won the war and became the first president and founder of our nation. How about Napoleon? Napoleon graduated 42nd in his class, a class of 43 people. Not exactly a brilliant guy, okay? But then he went on and conquered Europe, okay? How about Albert Einstein? You're not gonna believe this, but Albert Einstein did not learn to speak. He didn't say a single word until he was over 4 years old. Any parent who has a child who doesn't say its first words until 4 years old, you think something's wrong with this child. They're probably stunted in their intellectual ability. Einstein did so poorly in the school, all of his professors, all of his teachers said he'd be a failure. In fact, he failed at math. And he did so poorly in school at age 16, he failed to pass the entrance exam for the Swiss Polytechnic School. When he finally did get accepted into a college, he struggled so much that he nearly dropped out. And then he reinvented science and math. Babe Ruth hit 831 home runs in baseball, but he struck out 1,330 times. For years, Babe Ruth led the league in strikeouts, not just home runs. The Bible tells us no failure is final, but a righteous man gets up and rises again. Look at this next verse, Galatians 6:9. We must never get tired of doing good, because if we don't give up in the struggle, we will get our harvest at the proper time. If you keep on going, you don't let failure be final, you know, you never know what's going to happen. Let me read you about this guy. At age 7, this man, this little boy, at age 7, his family was forced out of their home, and he had to go to work to help support the family. At 7 years of age, he went to work. At age 9, he's still a shy little boy, his mother died. At age 22, he lost his job as a store clerk. He wanted to go to law school, but his education wasn't good enough. Age 23, he went into debt to become a partner in a small store. 3 years later, his partner died, leaving him a huge debt, which took years to repay. At age 28, after dating a young woman for 4 solid years. He asked her to marry him, and she said no. In his 30s, he ran for public office, and he lost. A couple years later, he ran again, and he lost again. At 37 years of age, on his 3rd attempt to run for office, he's finally elected to Congress. But 2 years later, when he ran for re-election, he lost again. And he had a nervous breakdown as a result. At 41, in an unhappy marriage, his 4-year-old son died. At 42, he ran to be elected as the land officer, and he lost. At 45, he ran for the Senate in the United States, and he lost again. A few years later, he ran for vice presidency, and he lost again. At 49 years of age, he ran for the Senate and lost again. And then at 51, he was elected president of the United States. His name was Abraham Lincoln. What if Lincoln had said, I'm just going to give up on the first time I ran for office? He lost like 8 or 9 times before he finally was elected president of the United States and saved the Union and saved the history of America. You don't know what's in store for you. All of those past failures could be just prologue for your future. Failure is not the worst thing that can happen to you. There's a lot worse things than failure. So don't exaggerate. Here's the third thing you need to remember. First, remember everybody fails many ways. Second, no failure is final till you just choose to give up. Third, remember that failure is the path to success if I'm humble and willing to learn from it. If I'm humble and willing to learn from it, failure is the path to success. Now, there is no other path to success except through failure. Failure is the door to success. It's how you become a success. Nobody just has success without any failures unless you just get lucky once, and that's the last time you're going to do that. It's something that you learn from. If you don't learn from your failures, well, then that really is a failure. Proverbs 28, verse 13 says this in the Bible. A man who refuses to admit his mistakes will never be successful. Okay? You're not learning from them and you're not admitting them. But if he confesses and forsakes them, in other words, you learn from your mistakes, he gets another chance. There are some things in life you only learn from failure. You can't learn them any other way. And so if there's some things you only learn from failure, you should stop calling it a failure and start calling it an education. Some of us are highly educated. We've had a lot of failures in our life, but that's how we get our education. That's how we go. There are actually many, many benefits to failing in life. You say, like what? Well, let me give you 3 or 4. First thing is, failure shows us what doesn't work. And if you're going to learn what works, then you have to fail to know what doesn't work. What was it that Thomas Edison tried, 1,000 different elements before he discovered that tungsten was the right element for the incandescent light bulb? And if he'd stopped at 999, there would be no light bulb. But he goes, I know 999 things that don't work. It shows what doesn't work. Second thing it does is failure develops our skills. Nobody gets good at something without failing at it first. How'd you learn to ride a bicycle? Get on and never have a crash? Or a skateboard? Never fall off and skin your knee? Or anything else? These all-star Olympic athletes who, you know, do amazing gymnastic feats and do the, you know, in ice skating, triple lutz backwards. They're put in harnesses and they'll do that triple lutz maybe 10,000 times and do it wrong before they ever get it right. That's the only way you learn a skill, is by doing it and over and over and over, and then you get good at it, okay? Most of you know that when I started in ministry, I didn't start as a preacher. I actually started in music ministry. I played guitar and drums since I was a kid, had a garage band growing up, loved to sing. The only problem was nobody liked to listen. And pretty quickly I figured out, okay, I'm not wired for that. I like music, but I'm not wired for it. And I quickly switched to speaking. And then people go, you know, when you talk, God uses that. It's like you're talking to me. Was I always that clear? Of course not. My first sermon sucked. I wanted to get up and apologize. I said, everybody go home. God's not here. It's real obvious. Let's just go home. Sorry. Let's go get some ice cream. But the only way you get good at something, the first time you do anything, you're not good at it. You're not good at anything the first time but you get better at it, whether it's cooking or anything else. You just get better. And the way you develop your skill is through failure. Go, I'm not going to do that again. And if you're learning from it, then failure is always the stepping stone to success if you keep trying. And if you analyze it, go, okay, what did I do there that didn't work? Now, if you don't analyze your life, if you don't look at your life, go, why did that project not work out? Why did that job opportunity not work out? Why did that interview not work out? If you don't analyze it, then you didn't learn anything. It was a failure. But I have learned, being pastor of this church now for almost 40 years, there is no such thing as innovation without failure. They go together. We actually innovate out of our failures. Well, that didn't work. Here at Saddleback, we'll try something, that doesn't work. We'll try something else, that doesn't work. We'll try something else, that doesn't work. We'll try something else. We try 99 things that don't work. Number 100 works. Then we go out and teach a seminar and pretend like we knew what we were doing. Truth is, we're not that smart. We're just not afraid to fail in this church. I tell my staff, I said, everybody, I want everybody making a big failure every week in your ministry. Because if you're not failing, it means you're not trying anything new. So I say, go out and fail this week and make it a doozy. Okay, make it a really big, not the one you did last week, because that's dumb, that's older. You get that you're not learning. Learn something new and fail that way. You say, why do you want people failing? Because I don't want to take all the blame myself. I want to spread it around. I know I'm going to make mistakes. I know I'm going to fail. And if I'm going to fail, I want to share the blame. I want you making some of them. So I'm telling every member of our church, go out and fail this week. Try something new you've never tried before. And guess what? You'll probably fail at it, but then learn from it and get better and get better and get better. That's how you do it. So I'm telling the whole church, I tell the staff this all the time, I want you to fail fast, fail often, and fail cheap. Okay. Don't spend a lot of money doing it, but fail fast, fail often, fail cheap. That's how you innovate. That's how you grow. That's how you learn. Benefits of a failure. It helps me develop my skills. You know what? It helps you discover your talents. It helps you discover your true shape. I could have taken all kinds of tests and not known that I was good at teaching because I'd never done it. There are things in your life that you're really good at, and you don't even know you're good at it. Why? Because you've never done it.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Thanks for joining us for today's lesson. If you'd like to write Rick and let him know how this broadcast has blessed you, feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time today. But first, if you want to make your time in prayer the best it can be, then you're going to want to get a copy of the brand new 2020 Daily Hope Prayer Journal. The theme is growing your prayer life. This vegan leather full-color prayer journal has sections to pray for specific people and situations, as well as space to express your gratitude and personal prayer requests to God. Each page is beautifully designed and filled with inspiring Bible verses, photos, and artwork. The Growing Your Prayer Life Prayer Journal is a spiritual growth tool designed to help you enjoy a vibrant prayer life, connect with the Lord, strengthen your prayer practice, and establish a consistent daily prayer time. When you give a financial gift to this ministry, we'll send you the all-new 2020 Daily Hope Prayer Journal to say thanks. Quantities are limited, so don't wait. Go to PastorRick.com to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. By the way, this month only, any gift you give will be matched by a very generous couple up to $100,000. This match is only available until midnight on December 31st, so please contact us today. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Today I want to share with you a note that I recently received from Miriam, a former Muslim who came to faith in Jesus after listening to Daily Hope. Now, we're not using Miriam's real name on the air because she lives in a country that's actually closed to Christianity, but here's what she wrote. Good morning, Pastor Rick. I was born and raised in a Muslim family, and I've been brought up believing and practicing in the Islamic faith. I want to tell you my journey to accepting Christ and how listening to Daily Hope has affected my life. Last September, I met a new friend. Our friendship grew quickly and surprisingly, and I would always feel safe and secure and peaceful around him, and he would always challenge me with some questions about my faith that I couldn't answer. I was going through some rough times in life, and for the very first time in my life, my new friend prayed for me. After he prayed, tears streamed into my eyes, causing me to see a very bright light, even though my eyes were closed. I started having doubts about my Islamic faith and doing my own research with his help. He asked me to listen to Daily Hope, and it was so meaningful to me that I decided to subscribe on my own. Ever since then, I have not missed a single broadcast of Daily Hope. Pastor Rick, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to know Christ better on a daily basis through your broadcast. I now know what love is, that it brings people closer and connects us to Jesus, and I'm truly honored and thankful to my new friend for bringing the light into my life and the Holy Spirit. And I'm proud to say that I devote my life now to Jesus Christ in his holy name and in his Spirit. And I'm going to continue to enjoy and be moved by your daily inspiration through the Daily Hope broadcast. Pastor Rick, my family doesn't know about any of this, which truly scares me at times. But one day, I hope Christ will give me the strength and the courage to confess my faith to them and encourage them to accept the truth too. Thank you for your time, Pastor Rick, and for helping me become a better Christian every single day. Best regards, Miriam. You know, wow, Miriam, I'm so encouraged to know that you have become a follower of Jesus Christ. That makes you my sister in the Lord. And I want to thank you so much for writing to me and sharing your story. I'm so encouraged by your note, and thank you for letting me share it with literally millions of other people around the world. Helping people find a relationship with Jesus is what keeps me going. It's why we do this broadcast, Daily Hope. And let me say to those of you who are listening right now, did you notice that a new friend of Miriam's listened to her and prayed for her and then shared the Daily Hope broadcast with her? Have you done that with anybody? Have you shared this broadcast with anybody who's not a believer? I want to encourage each of you to notice the people that God places in your life and take some time to learn their story, and then don't be afraid to pray with them. And then share this Daily Hope broadcast with them and encourage them to listen to it. You could end up making a friend for eternity. And if this broadcast has helped you grow closer to the Lord, would you let me know about it? Write to me, rick@pastorrick.com, and tell me your story so that I can share some of these stories online with other people who are partners with us in taking the good news of hope to everybody.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, you can write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.